in this place tonight or today, and we thank you. We thank you for Michelle. We thank you for her obedience to come before you today. We thank you that she has disciplined herself to study your word, to draw closer to you. We pray that every heart be open today for the word that you have for your special daughters. We thank you, Father, for the blessing that Michelle is, and I pray, Father, that your anointing flow through her and through this place. We bless you today. We honor you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, good morning. So this is a packed house, exactly what I was wondering. I'm like, how many people are going to be here today? You know, you always wonder that if you've ever done like a teaching or you've got something big going on, you're like, all right, I see RSVP, there's like 14 people on Facebook. I'm like, I know there's going to be more. So just prepare the word and whoever comes will come because everybody who's here was meant to be here today. So, amen. I ran into Carol probably about a month ago or so. Ironically enough, I was going up for prayer, and I was going up for prayer for purpose and for passion, because, so this is, oh, yeah, so mainly behind that was at work. I mean, I have plenty of stuff to do at work, but it was like I was kind of dragging, you know, like that dragging feet feeling of like knowing there's more, but knowing also, like I'm not sure. I know there's plenty of stuff for me to do, but is what I'm doing making an impact? And am I really focused on the things that I need to be focused on? So that was kind of where I was coming from with needing to go up for prayer, because I'm like, all right, Lord, just guide my direction. And I'm walking up there and I'm seeing, okay, there's a little bit of a line, no big deal, I've got some time. And out of nowhere, all of a sudden, I see just like somebody power walking up out of the corner of my eye. And I'm like, oh, hi, Carol. She's like, oh, just the person I wanted to see. I was actually meaning to speak with you. And we kind of like locked arms, I think. And we walked up to the front, sat in the front pew, and she pulled out these books and told me she was wanting me to do a teaching. And if I could pick from the names of God, so the power of God's name. So I was like, yes, I can do that. And I didn't really hesitate. And I opened it up. And there's a whole different, there's like a whole set of names for God, right? So we all know God in different ways. But I found in myself, there's certain names that, and probably with you guys too, you can identify more closely with, right? So maybe for a season of your life, there are certain names that God would go by, characteristics of God that you can more closely identify with. And I opened it up, and I feel like I probably should have done more work and probably dug in a little bit more, but I felt like it was just like sticking out at me like a neon sign, and it says, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. And that just stuck out for me for the season of life that I'm in right now. And I know that everybody probably has their own, I guess, name for God, or maybe a name we're calling out to him to help us, whether it's, you know, it could be healing, it could be for peace, it could be for a lot of different things. But for me, what I'll be focused on today is Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord our provider. So that's a little bit of background into how my prayer was answered, and then there was even more to that prayer that was going on too. So I find it funny because those little things, that it was like a small little answer to my prayer, and it was one of those things where sometimes we can feel that, you know, God, you know, are you listening? We know he's there. But just little subtle things, even if we're thinking about ourselves and how we're going about our day, what are the little things that we can do? Maybe somebody else is desperately needing to hear, you know, just those words of encouragement, or maybe it's just something small, but just thinking about in the big picture, you know, we know that the Lord's going to provide for us, but maybe he's going to do that through one of us to somebody else too. So, all right, so part of my teaching was to try to figure out, okay, providing. Provision, what does that mean? And I know, I don't know if Kathy's here, but I know Donovan's always like the guru of the Greek and breaking down the words to figure out what do they truly mean. So what I looked at when I looked at provision was it looks like a root word, proneo, which means to foresee. So if we think about vision, like our sight, right? So I can see that Carol's sweater is, you know, green, or that you know, there's a maroon sweater, and there's, you know, there's a navy blue sweater. So we're seeing things, but what's beyond? Like, I can't see what's through that wall over there. I can't see what's ahead. And we think about provision, like if we combine the two, it's like being able to foresee things. What's ahead? What's beyond where we are right now? And obviously we know that, like, God has provided for us in different ways. And if we don't see that, maybe he's going to provide for us, you know, through whatever our chapter in our life might be right now. But when I was looking at provision, it kind of hit me, because if you look ahead or even look back at our lives, so like I can see things now that God was working out that I had no idea. It's like I had my blinders on. So I grew up out in the country, and we would have, if people were riding horses and they would be training them, if it was down the road or dirt road or wherever it would be, their blinders would be on, because they don't need to see everything else that's going on. It's overwhelming. Like, they, you know, the horses will freak out, and there's a whole lot of training that has to go on. They have to be coaxed, and they have to get used to the conditions, or just, like, get through a certain point. There could be crazy traffic around them. There could be a lot of things going around that spooks them. So that's just kind of what was brought to my mind. I had that vision of a horse with blinders on. They can see, but there's somebody that's guiding them safely through, and I feel like God has that foresight, and he's pushing us through to our next step. He can see where we're headed. We shouldn't be afraid. And just the provision, how he's going to provide for us, that's already laid out. It's a matter of us and what we're able to do, what we're willing to do. Are we willing to step out? Are we willing to receive the gifts that he has for us? Because until we know and we've decided in our hearts that we're ready, then there's nothing more that we'll see from that until we're ready to step out and push forward and push ahead. So that's totally not the order of things that I was wanting to go in, but that's how he works, right? So another part when I was researching provision was not just forethought, but taking, it says preparatory measures for, that's straight out of the dictionary, supply what is needed. And other definitions, financial plan for retirement. I know we were kind of talking about finances. The one I liked the most was advanced knowledge, allowing for something to happen or enabling something to happen. And that's what I connected with the most as far as the definitions of what provision could mean and should mean in our lives. So when I started looking at the names of God, I was thinking about, like, I have a lot of cousins, girl cousins, and we all have nicknames for each other, and it's, some of it's character related, and some of it's just a name, right? But when we look in the Bible, a whole lot of the names in the Bible were actually meaning something. There was a root word, like, for example, rock, you know, Peter. There's specific characteristics of those people. So when I was looking at the different names of God, I landed on Jehovah Jireh. I went to just the definition of names, so that's how we got to provision. And then in Isaiah 52:6, it says, I will reveal my name to my people, and they will come to know its power. So then that got me thinking, you know, what's in a name? And I know I feel like somebody's taught on the different names of God before, and so I don't want to go super in-depth into that, but just getting to know God's names, it opens the door to knowing his character and to knowing more about his character. We can fully experience his love, his power, and who he is through that character in a deeper way. So I was thinking about, you know, when we get to know somebody, we're wanting to make a connection. We're wanting to find some sort of, like, something in common, or maybe it's not in common, it's unique. It's something that we can, not in a selfish way, but how we can get something out of that relationship and maybe put into it. But when we're thinking about those characteristics, it's funny to know just how those names and what we're identifying with one another and with God's especially can help us to make that connection and dig deeper in that relationship. And I know, too, like, a lot of times it's almost like an interview, right? So when you're trying to get to know somebody, there's a lot of questions you're asking. But I was asking myself, like, what have you done? What kind of questions have you asked the Lord to get to know him deeper as your provider? Because I've experienced a lot over the last couple years, and I know I've shared some stories. I've been able to relate with Ashley a lot, too, with work, and just there's a lot of growth there, too, but there's a whole lot of learning about provision and how the Lord has provided for me. And I think with that, there's a whole lot more to dig into. So, like, how is he trying to provide for me? You can see things, like, tangible. Okay, I could see, you know, direct deposit. You can see that. But there was more. There was growth. there's relationships. There were things that were going on at work that I didn't know were going on, and it's a lot of it was actions, doing, saying, if I said something, doing what I said I would do. And just the character, how God revealed how he was going to provide for me by being obedient. So looking to the Lord as my provider, and then that made me question a few things too. So I might know him on a certain level, but there's a whole other level of him being my provider, right? So for all of us, just thinking about how he cared enough about us to send his son. So Jesus, and then beyond that, the Holy Spirit that we have with us and for us, and the Holy Spirit's with us, and he had the foresight to see what we would need even beyond Jesus, to know that we needed that connection, we needed that relationship, and we needed that way to be able to reground ourselves and go to him through the Spirit. So that's really what stuck out to me, and knowing that I'm not there yet, I need to continue to press in and learn what it is that he has done, that he will do, and that he's trying to work out in me as Jehovah Jireh. And then I also saw in the Bible, too, how there's renaming. So there's names before, and then there's names after, and the significance. So, for example, Abraham, so Abram, which meant exalted father, and then afterwards, Abraham, father of a multitude. So there's so much in the definitions. It goes much deeper than just a surface level, a title. It's the meaning behind it. And a lot of times the biblical names will show, I wrote down purpose, authority, makeup, and character, and that God has many names that reflect his character. So I already named one. Also a few other examples. So the Lord is peace, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord who heals, Jehovah Rapha. And he has a name for every situation that we find ourselves in. And I'm experiencing like my own situation. And everybody, if you look around, everyone's in their own situation. So what name are we calling on? What name is that we need to call out? Or maybe we don't know that name. Maybe we don't identify with it. But there's more work that we have to do to get closer to that name. And then as far as knowing his character, there's another level of that. It's knowing his capacity. So we might think he's our provider, but there's way more. Like for me, I feel like I've only scratched the surface. There's areas of my life where I was looking at just, I was isolating work, right? And then the blessings through, you know, spiritually, the church, just all like this, what I would call a sisterhood, right? So getting closer with everyone here and just being able to pour into others' lives and vice versa. Beyond that, I started thinking about, for me, how is he my provider when it comes to Mike, my husband? And just looking at where we started and how much he's just, the Lord has worked in our lives. So just patience and being able to work together, because things aren't always easy and you're going to have conflicts or maybe just different opinions, and just trying to work through that too. And I feel like provision is there too, like patience. Lord's provided me with patience. I'm sure the Lord's provided him with plenty of patience, because I can be pretty, what do you want to call it? Yeah. I don't want to say bold, but just very, strong convictions, right? And he's the same way, but I feel like the Lord's provided in allowing us to see that in each other and knowing when to go, okay, time for us to take a step back. Let's talk through this one, or maybe we just need to take a breath. But I feel like he's definitely provided in that, and knowing that it's kind of like the whole iron sharpens iron thing, and knowing when, okay, we shouldn't be pressing on this. Let's just give it a rest type of thing. But then even in providing with Mike, just kind of being a good balance. So I can tend to be, like, especially when I was studying and trying to get all my teaching together, he's joking around, but I appreciate that with him, because he sees when I get so focused and so serious that he just like kind of throws the lure in and pulls me right out. So that's a huge blessing. That's something that I had identified with. And maybe you guys are thinking about things that you've experienced lately where it's like, whoa, I didn't even think about it that way. Or maybe you have the Lord, you know, raining down the provision and the blessings. Or maybe it's just not here yet, but maybe it's around the corner. So I wanted to read. I wasn't planning on reading the whole the story about Abraham, but I felt like it was so significant, and just what he went through and not even, like, because I don't have kids yet, right? So just thinking about what types of decisions did he have to make? What was going through his head? How did he even push forward and not completely crumble at what the Lord was asking him to do? So I'm going to start right here. It's Genesis, looks like 22. 22:1. Yes. All right. So I'm just going to start reading it if you want to follow along, or you can just listen. So sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. So God had told him about this already. The Lord was revealing this information to him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for my burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And it stuck out to me. It resonated. And I wouldn't read all of that, but I just felt like to really think about a situation. For me, I'm more of like a visual learner, or I have to hear it. And so when I was thinking about that situation, I don't have that same trial to go through. I don't have those same obstacles. But I feel like if you look to your left, to your right, across the table, everyone's either just come out of a trial, they're going through one, or they might have one right around the corner. And I feel like when we think about these situations and how the Lord provided, how the Lord saw it ahead of time, he gave us the provision. He gave us the tools and the resources that we needed far before we knew that we needed them. And just thinking about Abraham's test, so he was so confident going through there. I don't know what I would have thought. I don't know how I would have gotten through it, but I know that in my own situations, I've experienced it, and I'm sure each of you have. You don't want to keep pushing forward. It's not easy. You want to stop, maybe quit. I was thinking about Esther and her marathon, or somebody taking like a big exam. Like there's exhaustion, there's training, there's things that go into it. But if you were to stop halfway through, or maybe even stop in the training, like what would you have missed out on? You wouldn't have seen the finish line. You wouldn't have known how God was working through you, right? And I know there's more to that story. So there's people that were involved. There was lives that are being touched and things that are going on right there. For me, at work, just to share a quick example, I wasn't going to share too much about work, but I feel like that's where the Lord, along with my marriage, has done a lot of work and is continuing to kind of push me forward on. Today ends up being technically my fourth anniversary where I work. So I found that kind of ironic. I wasn't going to mention it, and then I happened to look, and I'm like, okay, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? So it's the fourth anniversary since I've been at the company that I work at now. And there's a lot that's gone on, and not necessarily negative, but a lot of challenges, a lot of trials, a lot of things that the Lord worked out in me. I started out like entry level. I started getting on the phones with closing agents and title companies and attorneys, and that to me was like, whoa, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. Every once in a while, you'd have an angry person, you know, yelling at you, and you know, you just got to push through it. And the more I got to do that, the more I was able to help other people get through those same situations. And then I saw something in myself that was there to help others. And as I continued to learn and grow, I saw the Lord was providing for me in a way of always wanting to be like a natural teacher. Like, I love helping, I love teaching, I love being able to like see other people grow. And through that, over the last 4 years, I was able to go to our training team and help teach other people. But I feel like that's not about me. That's what the Lord was wanting to do. Because after about 2 years, I ended up getting asked to be a team leader. And over about 2.5 years of being a team leader, it wasn't about the leader title. It wasn't about the leader role. It was a whole lot about what were other people lacking. I could see people were, either it was confidence, or maybe it was situations going on at home. Maybe it was just knowledge. And then I was able to connect that to me getting to know the Lord a little bit closer as my provider and seeing those things that I helped other people through, I needed to now press in, and I'm continuing to press in to get to know the Lord closer and better as my provider. He's provided in ways to where I got to the point where there was a whole lot of hours involved, 60, 70 hours for a couple years. And I prayed to the Lord because I know, and all of us should know, that the Lord wants more for us. He doesn't want us to be running around tired. There's certain chapters and seasons in our lives, but He doesn't want us to be running around unhappy. He doesn't want us to be just feeling like we're burning the candle at both ends to the point of no return. And I felt like He was speaking very clearly to me about that's, you know, that's not what I want for you. And I continue to pray. And then I was able to look today. I was looking through what Abraham did. So it wasn't, he didn't say, I don't know if this is for me. I'll come back to this in like a week. Or maybe he started out halfway, got halfway through up the mountain or halfway through a marathon, right? Gets halfway up the marathon and just says, or the mountain, and just says, I think I'm good. I don't think the Lord is actually calling me to do this. So I saw that there was action. There's a whole lot of action words going on. So no matter where we are in our trials and our challenges, we can't avoid them. There's no way we're going to be able to get through it without Him, and there's no way to avoid tough challenges and tough things that either we've gotten through and we can see we got through it, or that are just around the corner. But we know that the Lord is with us. We know that He's guiding us. He's here for us. And I feel like if we don't take action, if we don't show others how to take action, and even as Christian women, if we're not seeing action being taken, or taking the action ourselves, how can we show others the way? How can we show them that this is what a Christian woman would do, or this is what we should be doing in this situation? We're not going to let situations or people slow us down or stop us or hold us back, but we're going to keep pushing forward, because if we don't keep pushing forward, we don't know what we're missing out on. On the other side of the mountain, the ram was probably just making its way up the mountain, and little did he know, he was just being obedient to what the Lord was asking him. And he provided. The Lord provided for Abraham. So who's to say he's not going to provide for you in your situation? I don't know your situation. I know mine, but I don't feel like mine's nearly as bad as Abraham trying to sacrifice a child. I also don't know that maybe some of us in this room don't have something even more challenging than what Abraham had. But just, I think keeping the faith and encouraging others and knowing that that ram could just be making its way up the mountain. And if we're not taking action, if we're stopping halfway up the side of the mountain and that ram's all the way up here just waiting on us and we decide to walk back down, what are we missing out on? We're missing out big time. And then what about the blessings for other people in our lives to see the work that the Lord's doing? And sometimes it's not always for us. Sometimes that work that he's doing is for others to see. It's for other people to see that, for them to be a witness of what's going on in our lives. What is the Lord working out? What are we willing to move forward with? And the last thing that I had, and I know I'm so excited right now. The other thing that I had pressed on my heart was, it's kind of like he's taking a test of the temperature, right? So how hot are you, or how warm are you for the Lord right now? So it's like a test of where you are spiritually, because if you're willing to step forward, you're willing to take the action, then he knows that you're ready for provision, you're ready for the other things he has in store for you. And I'm just excited, and I know that I was meant to be up here and to be speaking like the message. I feel like definitely that's the Lord's message, and I know that there's a lot of people in here that just need encouragement to keep pressing forward, keep pushing forward, and don't let fear, don't let anxiety, nervousness, the thoughts in our head of we can't do this, or I don't have the resources, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And I feel strongly that the Lord will provide for us in our situation. And that's more and less than what I had, because everything was just on the flow. All right. And I have a closing prayer too. So Carol was kind enough to give me one of these books about a month ago when she locked arms with me and walked up to the front. I know. No, it actually helped out a lot. I've learned a whole lot. I'd encourage anybody, if these books will be up here, just if you're curious and you're wanting to get to know what, like, for example, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider, is about, or even there's one on healing, it's here, it's a resource, and I've learned so much just from the provider part of who God is and who his character is. So I'm going to read one of the prayers that was in there. Okay. All right, Lord, thank you. Jehovah Jireh, how many times have we looked to something else as our source when you alone are our provider? Lord, we pray, everyone and everything else is merely a resource, yet in our humanness, we still go elsewhere for what only you can provide, Lord. How wrong of us to be fearful at work, if someone isn't happy with us, or feel fearful at home if we don't see how we'll make ends meet. Forgive us for any audacity that we might have in thinking that the government has more control than you, or that the doctor has the final say regarding our health, Lord. You are our source, Lord. You are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And I have a song too. Sarah's going to be so kind. It's called Let It Rain by Jesus Culture. And it popped up into my head because I was thinking about when we're faithful and we're stepping out and the Lord is our provider, where we start to see blessings and things move in our life that we didn't think could move. I was just thinking about those blessings like raining down on us, and this song really touched me. It's simple, but there's stuff going on in it where I just feel like it's the provision and the blessing and the things that we've pushed forward are just going to rain down in our lives. Of your love, through the winds of your spirit, the heartbeat.
Wow, Michelle, that was so good. I didn't expect to cry. That was amazing. I have a word for all of you ladies. Back during the time that I had went through the divorce, and I was much younger, and I remember there was a point where I was very determined to move forward. But there were those times in my life that I felt like I came to this gate, almost like a, you know, like what they have, like cows behind the fence or whatnot. And I remember it was Christmas time, and, you know, I got lonely, and I was missing my family and my husband and what could have been, all the things that could have been, should have been. And a friend of mine gave me a word, and she said, you know, Wendy, I see you. I see you at this gate, and you're struggling so hard to get to the other side, and you're trying to claw over. You're trying to scrape under, dig a hole to go underneath. And there's like a barbed wire fence, and you're getting cut and scraped, and it's just too difficult. And you keep turning around, and you keep walking back. She goes, but to get to the other side, all you have to do is walk up to that gate. You have the authority. You have the key. Open the latch and walk through. And I thought, but I just don't know how to let go of this unforgiveness. I just don't know how to lay it down. All I know is in the physical how to get across that fence, and it's not working. And she said, lift the latch and walk through. And by doing that, you're laying it down. You're saying whatever the outcome is, no matter what it is, to get to the other side, you have to give it to him. You have to lay your Isaac down. And so I went home that night, and I cried, and I felt pain like I had never felt before, a death. And I woke up the next morning, and I felt these arms wrapped around me. And I thought, he came home. Marty's home. He came home. It was the strangest. I couldn't believe it. How did he get in? And I rolled over, and there was nobody there. And I very rarely ever told that story. And I can tell you, to this day, I don't feel the pain. I don't remember the pain. Not any of it. But I still feel his arms. I still go back to that moment, and I think, I wouldn't trade that for nothing. Just that brief moment of having his arms around me and feeling the love and the provision that he had. And then you know the rest of the story, and, you know, 10 months later, Marty showed up on my doorstep. And here we are, remarried 10 years in December. Two more beautiful babies that the doctors said could never happen. And I look back at that moment, and I think, if I wouldn't have listened, and I would have turned around and walked back again, I would have never made it across that fence. And the word I have for you ladies today is, you're at that fence. It's something going on in your life, whether it's a healing or something that you're just so afraid to let down, because you cannot imagine what could be possibly on the other side that would be better than where you are. You're too comfortable, and it hurts too much. The pain hurts too much to get across that fence. I'm telling you, lift open the gate. Go home and have a serious talk with your father. He'll help you to lay it down. And I promise you, the other side is more than you can imagine. It's way more than you can imagine. Okay? So I just want to thank you all for coming today. Thank you again, Michelle. Thank you so much for your word. It was beautiful today. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you so much. I don't even know where to begin. I don't even imagine where our lives would be without you. We thank you for the clarity, the wisdom, the discernment, all the gifts that you give us. And you ask for nothing in return but our love. We do love you. We love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul. We do fall short many times, and yet that doesn't change with you. You love us so, so dearly. And I pray, Lord, that your loving arms will wrap around each and every woman that's here today. I pray as you walk this journey with them, that they'll go home today, they'll sit down, take that quiet moment, Father, and have that honest discussion with their Jehovah Jireh. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to give them the steps that they need to take. I pray, Father, that they not write their own story, but that you write it for them. Let them be the willing piece of paper as you write their beautiful story. I thank you for this beautiful day. I pray that each and every lady go home safely today. I pray that you bless their hands in everything they do and carry them throughout the week. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is no guilt here, there is no shame, no pointing fingers, there is no blame. What happened yesterday has disappeared. The dirt has washed away, and now it's clear. There's only grace, there's only love, there's only mercy, and believe me, it's enough. These sins are gone without a trace, and there's nothing left now. There's only grace. Starting over now, under the sun. You're stepping forward now, a new life has begun. Your new life has begun. And there's only grace, and there's only love, there's only
I wanna be near.
can barely stand right now. Everything is crashing down, and I wonder where you are. I try to find the words to pray. I don't always know what to say, but you're the one that can hear.